Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Hey, today is Pentecost. Did you know that? Some of you did. Pentecost, the day we celebrate the powerful coming of the Holy Spirit, the day we celebrate and specifically remember the third person of the Trinity, the shy member of the Trinity, the person of the Trinity that as Presbyterians often we shy away from because we're nervous about the Holy Spirit oftentimes. But today we are starting a series in which we are going to consider how this question, how have you seen, how are you seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in your own life and in the lives of the people around you? We're calling this series Life in the Spirit, and that's exactly what we're going to explore. What does it look like to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, to live life in the Spirit and according to the Spirit of the living God? So that's where we're going over the next several weeks. I'm very excited about this. So let me take you back to 1991 in what was called Firestorm. If you Google this, Firestorm 1991, you'll read all about what I experienced as a high school student in my hometown of Nine Mile Falls, Washington. So Firestorm 1991 is when a huge portion of eastern Washington and northern Idaho in the fall of 91 experienced a very long and dry summer, and then the winds began to blow and fires broke out all over the place. A little bit more commonplace here in Southern California. It was not common in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. Firestorm 1991. I grew up on a house that overlooked a lake called Long Lake because it was long. Yeah, you guys are on it this morning. It's great. A house that overlooked Long Lake, and we could see on the other side of the lake one of the fires, the Nine Mile Fire, that was burning. And the reason we could see it across the lake was because farther upstream, it had actually jumped across the river, across the lake, the fire had. And so we knew that this was possible. So the fact that the fire was across the lake or across the river did not necessarily provide any level of security or safety or peace of mind. We were surrounded by fires, as many, many people were. Fires that are not to be played with. Let me fast forward a number of years. It's 1997, and now I am on Chimney Rock in northern Idaho, just east of Priest Lake, with my good friend Randy. We're rock climbing this tower that sits on top of a ridge overlooking Priest Lake. It's called Chimney Rock. And we had climbed this rock several hundred feet with the plan to camp on top of this tower. There was a plateau on top of Chimney Rock that was about the size of this tent here, maybe 30 by 40 feet or something like that. And so we had hauled all of our gear up hundreds of feet of cliff, you know, tent and sleeping bags and bivy sacks and food and water and everything that we needed in order to stay the night on top of Chimney Rock. But as we approached the top, an unbelievably powerful electrical storm started to move in. And remember, we're on top of, or almost on top of, Chimney Rock, which is this large granite spire that sits on top of a ridge. And so we could see all around us 360-degree panoramic views. And all around us, it was like fireworks. It was unbelievable. To this day, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, the sky was literally on fire with electricity, lightning bolts striking all around us. That's scary. That's scary enough if you're not covered in climbing gear that is 100% conductive aluminum. So all the climbing gear that we have, it's aluminum. We're just like, you know, hauling all that. We're covered with it. I mean, we've got aluminum carabiners. Everything is aluminum. So our plans to stay the night on top of Chimney Rock were quickly abandoned. Let me fast forward a number of years again. Krista and my father-in-law and I are at Half Moon Bay in Northern California. We're on the coast. And on that particular day, the wind was so powerful that I did this, it was super fun. You could like spread out your coat, so unzip your jacket, spread out your coat kind of like you've got wings or like a wingsuit, and just lean into the wind. And I think I was leaning like 30 degrees into the wind just standing there. It was unbelievable. And we're watching the crashing surf just crashing up against the rocks. Fun to watch. Of course, deadly to be in if you were to be in the water. I'm telling you these stories because fire, lightning, wind, these are powerful forces that are not to be toyed with, not to be played around with. And in the reading that Rosemarie just read for us in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is experienced by the early church as a refining fire and as an empowering wind. And the Holy Spirit as a refining fire and as an empowering wind is also an unbelievably powerful force, not to be toyed with, not to be played with, but to be taken quite seriously. And because this refining fire metamorphosizes people, changes people, and because this empowering wind actually empowers communities for massive local and global impact, because of these things, the Holy Spirit is a force to be reckoned with. Why fire and why wind? Why was the Holy Spirit revealed to the early church as both fire and wind? That's the question that we're going to look into this morning. So let's pray and dive in. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're present here with us today. That there's never a place that we've gone to or been where you have not already been there. There's never been a conversation with someone that you haven't already been in before we entered. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are at work in us, among us, and through us. And I pray this morning as we consider your word, that you would open our hearts and our ears, our minds, our bodies, to your work in us, among us, and through us. Refine us, Holy Spirit, that we might become more like Jesus, the one to whom you always point. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm excited. Here we go. The Holy Spirit, you ready? It's Pentecost today. We're going to dive in. So Pentecost actually has Jewish roots. So the Festival of Weeks is what it is known as, also known as Pentecost, was a Jewish festival that celebrated the spring harvest. Right, so Pentecost is not something new to the Christian community. Why is it called Pentecost? Well, penta means 50. Why 50? Because Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, took place 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover. That's when Pentecost has been celebrated. And it was for this Jewish Festival of Weeks, or the Jewish Festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, it's for this feast that Jews from all over the known world, all of those people groups that Rosemarie pronounced so confidently, Jews from all over the known world had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate this Pentecost festival. And among those who were gathered there were the earliest disciples of Jesus, all of whom were also Jews, had Jewish backgrounds. And they were all gathered in one place for this festival when the presence of God himself, the Holy Spirit, who had been promised, comes in the form of fire and wind. At least that's how they experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, as both fire and wind. Why fire and why wind? Let's take them one at a time. First of all, Holy Spirit fire. Listen to this, verse 3 in chapter 2. Divided tongues as of fire. You know, when you think of fire, you can think of the flames as tongues. They're like tongues of fire. So divided tongues as of fire appeared among them as they were gathered, and a tongue rested on each of them. One of these flames of the fire rested on each of them. What does fire do? Well, in the world of metallurgy, fire refining or pyrometallurgy is the process in which iron or lead or copper or other metals is purified. So the process involves a lot of fire, a lot of heat, a lot of really hot fire. So for example, copper. Copper has a lot of impurities in it, and copper is heated until it becomes liquid, right? Really hot, a lot of fire involved. And then onto this liquid copper is blasted oxygen. Oxygen is blasted into the furnace with this melted copper, and through some magical and mysterious process that only metallurgists can explain or understand, the impurities in the copper, they actually oxidize before the copper itself oxidizes. And then this oxide, the oxide impurities, they can be removed. So all the impurities from the copper are actually removed. So simply put, let me just make this as simple as I can. If you add fire to impure copper, the result is copper with less impurities, refined copper. Copper without all the other junk in it. The Holy Spirit is revealed to us as a fire here because when you add the Holy Spirit to a person, the result is a person with less impurities, a refined person, a person without all the junk in her or in him. Just like a refiner's fire, the Holy Spirit refines and does at least two things. The Holy Spirit removes impurities that are in us, and the Holy Spirit reveals our true metal. And yes, it took me a long time to come up with that. Removes our impurities from us and reveals what our true metal is. So first of all, the impurity that the Holy Spirit fire removes from us is everything in us that would create a barrier preventing us from connecting with God's heart, connecting with God's people, and connecting with God's mission. One of the significant barriers that exists in us that the Holy Spirit removes from us is called idolatry. We become idolaters whenever we take something that is good and we turn it into an ultimate thing. So anything can become an idol. And idols are often good things. They're good things that we turn into ultimate things. What are some popular idols today? Right? Sex, money, power, comfort, security. Now, I would say all of these things in and of themselves are good. But it's when we take these good things and we turn them into ultimate things, we become idolaters. And the Spirit's refining fire removes this idolatry from our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us and helps us to see that, oh my goodness, I've taken a good thing and I've set it on the throne of my life. I've given it more authority and more power than it deserves. And these good things that we turn into ultimate things can never deliver on their promises, right? We will always be disappointed when we worship sex or money or power or comfort or security or anything other than the living God. And so just like a refiner's fire removes the impurities of silicon and manganese from iron, I did a little research here. So also the Holy Spirit removes the impurity of idolatry from our hearts. This is the work of the Holy Spirit when he burns within us. And I want to invite you just to take a moment here. When and where have you seen this at play in your life? How has the Holy Spirit been purifying you, refining you, removing whatever barriers would prevent you from connecting with God's heart and God's people and God's mission? Or maybe you've seen the Holy Spirit doing this purifying work in someone else, someone close to you, someone you love. How have you seen the Holy Spirit doing this work of purification? Hang on to those memories, those moments, those times when it's so clear to you that the Holy Spirit is at work. And let's thank the Holy Spirit for his work in us, among us, and through us, his purifying work in our lives. So the Holy Spirit purifies us, removes these impurities such as idolatry, when we take good things and we make them into ultimate things. The second work of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit fire in us reveals what our true metal is. Reveals our true metal. Here's what I mean. In the metallurgy world, refining iron is a process that takes, for example, an original product that's like 94% iron and 6% impurities, other stuff, and purifies it so that on the other end of the process, it comes out like 99% iron and only 1% impurities. So in other words, refining iron is a process in which iron becomes more genuinely iron. The refining process takes something that's 96% iron and transforms it into 99% iron. In other words, it reveals more of the pure iron. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit fire, in the process of burning off impurities such as idolatry, is revealing more of your true metal, more of who God created you to be, more of who you really are. So if we can imagine, you know, maybe at the beginning of the day, you know, I'm 96% the Peter whom God created and redeemed me to be. But through prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart, maybe by the end of the day, I'll be 97% the Peter whom God created me to be. And here's why I think this is significant. The Holy Spirit fire doesn't want to make you into somebody else. The Holy Spirit fire doesn't want to make you into somebody else. The goal of the work of the Holy Spirit is not to make you into Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or Thomas Aquinas. We've already got them. The refining process makes you more fully the human whom God created and redeemed you to be. Think about this. Just as the pyrometallurgical process, that's a real word, isn't that fun? The pyrometallurgical process, the metallurgical process through fire, pyro, the goal of that process is 100% iron, for example. So the goal of the pyroanthropological process, that's the formation of human beings through the process of Holy Spirit fire, the goal of that is 100% you. That you would become 100% the you God created and redeemed you to be. That is fully human, fully alive, fully devoted to Jesus Christ. And I wonder if some of you come here today thinking or suspecting that what God wants to do in you is to make you more like somebody else, to make you into someone you are not. But see, somebody else is not whom God created in you. Somebody else is not whom God loves in you. Somebody else is not who God gave the world. Somebody else is not the person whom God is eager to partner with in mission. God created you. God loves you. God gave the world the gift of you. God wants to partner in mission with you. And so he gives us the gift of his presence, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is at work in us, refining us, removing the impurities, and making us more the women and men God created and redeemed us to be. Is this not good news? This is when you could say amen. Amen. Come on, it's Pentecost. I wonder if we should just pray about this right now. So I'm going to invite you to do that. Would you pray with me? I'm not done yet, by the way. We're going to time out. We're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. We welcome you among us. We welcome you within us. We ask that you would remove the impurities in us that create barriers that prevent us from connecting with your heart and with your people and with your mission. Purify us that we might become more and more the person whom you created on purpose, the specific person for whom you died on the cross, the specific person in whom you came to live and dwell by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so today, would you refine us that we might be more fully human, more fully alive, more fully devoted to the Lord Jesus, more fully the people, the person you've created us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how you doing? We talked about the Holy Spirit as fire. We haven't talked about wind yet. How you doing? You ready for wind? You ready? Here we go. Verse 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Hey, that's significant. They were all together in one place. It's really important that we gather together. Isn't it interesting how often the Holy Spirit is at work when they were all together in one place? Here it is again. They were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Down in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. What does wind do anyway? That's not a trick question. It blows. Wind blows, it pushes, it empowers. You can see the direct relationship between wind and power if you drive on the 10 out to Palm Springs. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago. Hundreds of wind turbines demonstrating the direct relationship between wind and power. And you know those blades on those turbines? Those blades are like your spiritual gifts. They're like your personality. They're like your life experiences, your education, your preferences, your personality. I already said that, didn't I? All of those blades are like who God created you to be and the gifts that God has given you through the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we align our blades, our power turbines, with the wind of the Holy Spirit, the wind empowers us. The wind catches those gifts. The wind catches our personality. The wind catches our life experiences and works powerfully through them. Now, maybe you don't like wind turbines. That's fine. Let's talk about sailing. Let's imagine a sailboat, right? Your gifts, your personality, your life experiences are like the sail the sail that you lift up, the sail that you align with the wind. And when the Holy Spirit wind catches that sail, it empowers you to move forward. It empowers you for mission. But what kind of mission? Like specifically, what does the Holy Spirit empower us for? Verse 4, listen to this again. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Later down in verse 11, it says they were speaking about God's deeds of power. You know, this is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen to them when he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be, this is all promise language. You know, this isn't command language. This is promise language. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, that's like Huntington Beach, Orange County, California, all of America, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit here was empowering the disciples to speak of God's deeds of power in languages that the visitors to Jerusalem from around the world could understand. How does this translate for us? I can see at least three things we can learn about how the Holy Spirit wind empowers us for mission. They spoke about God's mighty acts, number one. Number two, in a language that was understandable. And number three, all of them. They spoke about God's mighty acts in a language that was understandable, all of them. So first of all, they spoke about God's mighty deeds of power. Later on in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 20, this is my wife Krista's favorite verse in the Bible. It might be my favorite too. The Apostle Peter, he says to those who try to silence his preaching of the gospel, he says, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. We just can't help it. We can't help but speak about what we've seen and what we have heard. What had they seen? And what had Peter heard? God's deeds of power. Man, he saw Jesus risen from the dead. He saw thousands fed with just a few loaves of fish. He saw the Sea of Galilee miraculously calmed at Jesus' one-word command. He saw a grown man and a little girl raised from the dead. He saw people set free from demons. We just can't help but speak about what we've seen and what we've heard, what we've experienced. And notice here in Acts chapter 2 that the disciples, when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in these other languages, notice that they did not offer a defensible argument for the existence of God or a summary of the four spiritual laws or an attempt to get everyone to believe that they are terrible sinners bound for hell. The Holy Spirit empowered them to speak about what they had seen God do. That's it. Let me just tell you what God has done. Let me just tell you what I have seen God do in myself and in some other people I know. What have you seen God do in your life? What have you seen God do in the lives of the people you know? What difference has loving and following Jesus made in your life? What's your experience of God's presence? Go tell it on the mountains. Go raise your sail. The Holy Spirit wind of God will blow and empower you for this kind of mission. They just spoke about God's deeds of power. You know, you don't need a fancy education for that. You just need to pay attention. Here's what I saw God do. And you know what the cool thing about this is, too? You can't really argue with that. Man, like, God just has been at work in my life and has set me free from addiction. You know what nobody can say about that? No, he hasn't. Nah, that's not right. I don't believe that. Okay, man, it's my life. This is what God is doing. This is what I have seen him do. You can't argue with that. Okay, so Number one, they spoke about God's mighty deeds of power. Friends, be encouraged. You don't need to present a defensible argument about the existence of God. I'm not sure that works very well anyway. Okay, secondly, they spoke in languages that other people could understand. This is crazy. This is amazing. One of the astounding miracles of this first Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit actually enabled these people to speak languages they had not learned. For those of you who studied Spanish or German in high school or college, don't you wish you had been there on that Pentecost day? Like, oh Lord, come again, Lord Jesus. The Spirit gave them suprahuman abilities in language skill. Now, I would not put it past the Holy Spirit to empower you to speak Mandarin to an immigrant from mainland China who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would not put that past him to do that. But what about all the rest of the days when it seems like God is not giving me a miraculous ability to speak Mandarin, even though I have not spent more than 3 minutes trying to learn how to speak Mandarin? I don't think that the only thing we're talking about here is the ability to speak in other languages that we have not learned in school. We've got to ask ourselves this question: do I speak about God's mighty deeds in a language that those around me can understand and resonate with? Or do I simply talk about the blood of the Lamb who was slain that has washed my iniquity away? Right? If you have not been in the church, if you are not a believer, if you are unfamiliar with the Bible, what I just said sounds like some strange, cultish, violent, weird thing that I don't want anything to do with, right? It's in a language that those who are not familiar with these sorts of phrases just don't resonate with because they don't understand. Do we speak about God's mighty acts and God's deeds in our lives just in a language that our neighbors who maybe don't yet know Jesus or have never even opened the Bible before might understand or relate to or resonate with? You know, the most famous example of this, speaking in a language that resonates with other people, is the Apostle Paul in Athens. This takes place in Acts chapter 17. It's so wonderful. It's a brilliant episode. Paul is speaking to an elite group of philosophers in Athens. And in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, he quotes one of their famous poets. And then he uses one of their religious shrines as an object lesson. He's speaking their language. He's trying to relate with them. You know, another pretty famous example of this is Jesus himself. Why do you think he told so many stories about farming or fishing? It's what everybody did. You either farmed or you fished. They could relate to that. You know, another really good example of this, although slightly less famous than Jesus or the Apostle Paul, is Tanner Orell, our student life minister. He's right over here. Everyone look at Tanner. Hi, Tanner. Tanner's super gifted at sharing the good news of the gospel in language that teenagers can understand and resonate with. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit has empowered Tanner with a kind of creative communication. And the Holy Spirit also empowers you and me for that kind of creative communication where we can speak about God's deeds and power in ways that our neighbors can understand and relate to. Thirdly, all of them. Did you notice who all was filled with the Holy Spirit? Who all was empowered to speak in these superhuman language, with these superhuman language skills? Man, it's super emphasized so that we don't miss it. Listen to this. Verse 1, they were all together. Verse 2, the Holy Spirit filled the entire house. Verse 3, a tongue rested on each of them. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you get it yet? Not just pastors, not just gifted evangelists, not just outgoing people, not just extroverts, Not just those who have formal biblical training, every one of them and every one of you. Filled with the Holy Spirit, enabled, empowered, equipped to speak of God's mighty acts. What has he been up to that you can see in your life? In language that your neighbors maybe can resonate with. You see, the Holy Spirit is a refining fire and an empowering wind. I think it's no mistake that he's revealed to us here in Acts chapter 2 as a fire and as a wind. The fire purifies us, makes us more and more into the women and men whom God has created and redeemed us to be. More of you, not less of you, more of the you God created you to be. And the Holy Spirit is a wind that empowers us for mission, specifically the kind of mission in which we speak about what God is doing in our lives and in the world. A mission in which we speak about these things in a language, in a manner that resonates with people who are listening. Isn't the Holy Spirit good? Come on. We're going to be spending the next several weeks looking at what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does life in the Spirit look like? What is that supposed to be? And how have you experienced it? And I want to invite you to pay attention. Maybe this week specifically, you can pay specific attention. Holy Spirit, how are you working in my life, in my world this week? Maybe it's little things. Maybe it's really big things. Holy Spirit, how are you working in my life and in my world today? Show me, reveal yourself to me in the form of fire, in the form of wind, in the sound of sheer silence, however, God, you want to reveal yourself to me. Open my eyes that I might see you at work today. Friends, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you, and I do confess that Spirit, that you receive the least amount of attention in my own heart of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And over these next weeks, especially, Holy Spirit, I really want to pay attention to you. So would you guide my mind and heart? And would you do the same among those who are here today and those who are listening in online? God, if you, the Holy Spirit, you're sort of the least paid attention to member of the Trinity, would you just open our eyes, open our ears that that we could pay special attention to you and your work? We know, Holy Spirit, that you're always pointing to Jesus. We know that you're always lifting the name of Jesus, that you're always drawing people closer to Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see you at work, refining us, refining people around us, empowering us, empowering the people around us. Help us to see that work of purification, that work of empowerment. And then would you give us courage and a thoughtfulness enough to affirm that in the people around us? When we see you at work and someone near to us, just to affirm that, you know, I see the Spirit at work in your life. I see that the Holy Spirit clearly has been doing something in you, with you, through you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in the places of our hearts that need healing. You are welcome in the places of our lives that need purification, refining. You are welcome to remove the idols that have taken hold in our hearts and minds. You are welcome to set us free. You are welcome to empower and embolden and equip us to be Jesus followers, fully human, fully alive, fully devoted to Jesus. You are welcome here in us, among us, and to do your work through us. We simply ask that you would help us to see you at work. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray confidently because we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchb.org.